Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yes, sir. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Texans victory Monday, 29-27 victory over the Colts in Indy. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Get involved with the program on the text line, 713-572-4610. You can also do that on the YouTube and Twitch. YouTube is already, I don't know if this, are they clowning me, Fig? Is that what's happening? Somebody said, when did James Harden get into the studio? And it looks like he finally got in shape. Not James Harden.
That's a very good comment. That's
oh, really?
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
They said you look like somebody else, too, once.
Yeah,
time.
Apparently. Well, I mean, it's one of the folks that's followed me from Dallas. Appreciate you, D-Mass.
Gilligan?
Wow. Yeah, because I am wearing the bucket hat. Shout out to the W. But, yeah. Jalen Brown.
Oh, yeah, that was the
Hooper
one.
For the Boston Celtics is the one that I've gotten a decent amount. I guess let me know if you agree. But, yeah, you guys can get involved by texting in 713-572-4610, which shout out to the 713 who did that. Said we won by two against the Colts. Come on. Well, first of all, I thought we were appreciating what was by far something that was a incredible progress offensively.
Clearly
the thing that they did the best was running the football.
Yes.
We started there, and so we wanted to give them their plaudits for it. Second of all, this offense scored 29 points in this game.
It did.
Right? Like, that's not something that we should get jaded by. We want to have the appreciation of that.
Should have been 32, but we'll get to that.
And this is a good team.
Yeah.
The Colts was a good team.
I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm not certain just yet, but I think they're at least cusp, right? Playoff cusp type team.
Yeah, very much. You know, with
they got a strong team, man.
With Taylor and the lines and the life and times of Anthony Richardson, they could be a playoff.
The quarterback is the question, but
he also lights you up.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, 160 yards on the ground. Look, the man carried the ball 30 times and averaged over 5 yards a carry. That's stupid.
Is that good?
That should not be. Yes, very. Like that. That's not something that feels like should be allowed.
Yeah.
And yet you went and did that in week one. And I thought that was something that deserved a level of appreciation. If you disagree, that's fine. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. Something that we can't disagree on, though. Right? Something
agree that we to disagree.
Pet peeve.
Like, look, just I'm not here to fight. I'm not here. That's what it is.
I'm not here to fight.
I'm not. We can talk a little bit. I'm not here to fight. All right. Let's talk about this man though. A new addition to the team. A lot of eyes were on this man wearing number one. Stephon Diggs got on the board early.
Third down and six. Inside the 10, Stroud, shotgun, Mixon to his left. CJ takes the snap, throws right side, caught, Diggs into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Stroud to Stephon. The Texans take the lead.
Well, they run Nico up the seam, and from the outside coming inside was Diggs. It just kind of cleared itself out. Nice little throwing lane for CJ, and he is accurate as you need to be in that situation.
Great observation, Andre, and I say that because I thought the same thing in real time.
Because I thought it, and you thought it.
So it must be great.
That's right.
That touchdown. Well, first of all, Stephon Diggs, you know, two touchdowns.
Yes.
For the game.
Six receptions, 33 yards.
That's fine. But I thought that was a perfect example of this is what happens when you have three guys. When you have three guys that can that they have to pay attention to, and oh by the way, they're running the ball too. Like you know that was the perfect example. Like, what do you do? Pick your poison. They picked their poison and they lost. The next touchdown, they picked their poison even more obviously. Who was it? Downs, the cornerback that was way off of him. He was like 4 or 5 yards in the end zone. And they were like on the 2 or 3 yard line. I'm like, what are you doing? You know why he was there? Because
the speed out that CJ's rolling onto his left.
Yes. So they had to kind of account for all these weapons. That was a weapons touchdown, and so was the second one even more so.
Yeah.
They had weapons.
Yeah. It very much felt like that. Like, I mean, again, the first touchdown was a slant where he didn't get touched until he's basically at the goal line.
Yeah.
Right? Man, the man that was lined up over top of him, and I understand, right, you end up in some of these situations where off the line you might be able to just beat a guy, but the man that was lined up over him had no shot in hell of touching Stephon Diggs. And there's been a lot of talk about this wide receiving core. First of all, it felt like Diggs and CJ had a fantastic connection, right? In a way that I guess we kind of saw already when it came through camp and those types of things. But, you know, you never know until week one how it really looks in game. And it looked good, right? But then also, it seemed like there was a very concerted effort to get the ball in his hands as well. Although it was kind of short and in the middle of the field in some ways, that felt a little similar to what happened in Buffalo, although he got the ball, right? They made sure to get him the football.
They absolutely made sure to get him football. And when you look at the distribution of the targets and catches, it was all over the field. I think two running backs caught balls, four receivers, two tight ends. Like, the distribution is what made this successful all around. And so that's why all these weapons, and we haven't even talked about this, the two biggest acquisitions in the offseason, Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I mean, what else did you want to see out of those two guys? Okay, maybe you wanted to see some more yards. That wasn't the way they were picking their poison, and that's why it worked, because they had all these weapons.
Yeah, man, it's one of the things that Stephon Diggs does really well. Like, it's just making sure to run those routes and make it impossible for guys to keep up with you. And when you have someone like Nico Collins, it's who it feels like almost a crime that we've waited this long to mention him. Six receptions, 117 yards, right? When you have that guy that's capable of going downfield and making a pass that was a little short, you know, not as much arm as CJ probably needed to put into it, making him right in a situation where he goes jump ball versus two dudes and brings it down. Like, it just makes it hell on a defense. And I found it to be a very good showing when it came to, like, Bobby Slowick, right? I want to give him his credit, and maybe CJ as well, because CJ obviously has a lot of control on this offense. He's garnered more. I was very impressed with the way that they were able to get everyone involved. And also, for those of you that maybe have some concerns about, hey, is Stephon Diggs going to be happy, it felt like they fed him and did so in a pretty intentional way. And he got a couple touchdowns out of it.
You mentioned the relationship with Stephon Diggs and CJ Stroud. I thought equally as important as what you just talked about, the relationship with Bobby Slowick and Gerard Johnson with C.J. Stroud. Stroud was a better quarterback in terms of, well, more advanced, I should say, in terms of manipulating the pocket, knowing where to take the ball, knowing where he should put the ball in certain situations. That goes back to the relationship with Bobby Slowick. And from Bobby Slowick's perspective, it's knowing what play to call based on what he's expecting or sees on the defensive side of the ball. It was beautiful to watch, man. Absolutely beautiful.
Not going to lie, though. When I did see early on, even though, like, you end up with a touchdown on that slant, right, early on, I was like, okay, as I mentioned, right, this looks kind of like the usage that Stephon Diggs had in Buffalo. I understand that you are a ticket-carrying or card-carrying Stephon Diggs is going to be more than fine. It's a great move for the Texans. Member, did you have any level of thoughts, even a passing thought, you know, pun intended, as we'll get that at 11:20, when it came to, okay, the usage, is Stephon Diggs fully integrated, even though, like, after the game, he's walking off with Tank, you know, talking into the phone that ends up on NFL's social media feed, talking about 1-0 and all those things, right? Did you have any moment of thought where you're like, ooh, okay, are we distributing the ball well? Are they kowtowing to Stephon Diggs, even though ultimately the box score looks like it's evenly distributed?
No, not at all. And the biggest reason is because every game, you know, gets its own feel during the game.
Yeah.
And this feel was, let's feed Joe Mixon. Yeah, right. You know, you touched on it. 30 carries. He's not going to get 30 carries every game. He better not. We'll get to that as well.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock, I believe. But beyond that, let's say he gets 20. Well, where are those other 10 plays going to go? You know, and what is the feel for the secondary? And where is the secondary focusing its attention? You know, Nico Collins benefited from Stephon Diggs. You know, but Nico Collins had 117 yards in part because of what they saw and how the defense attacked them.
Right. Yeah, I think you're there. I think, like, this full complement of teams we're seeing, or rather of players we're seeing, is going to, you know, have a great impact on defenses and the ways that they react to each one another. And I thought, again, wins are the greatest panacea, right? They cure all in some ways, and it felt like everything was up and up, right? When it came to this team, a larger kind of observation for me, as we're kind of spinning this one out. I understand the game was close when it came to the scoreboard. And we can talk about, right, blocked punt, right? We could talk about big plays, right? We could talk about some of those things. Did the game ever feel like this was, like, really in danger? And I know it feels kind of nonsensical, and it seems like it's easy to say after the fact when the win is secured. I can say with all sincerity that during the course of this game, even as it was tight, it did not feel necessarily like this was going to be a dangerous game to me. Am I wilding, or did you also have a similar feeling?
I felt the same way, but let me add something to that. I felt that it was on the brink of maybe losing momentum or control a couple of times.
Okay.
D'Amico Ryans, and you're going to hear this during Passing Thoughts at 11:20. D'Amico Ryans going for it, late in the fourth quarter when he could have easily had points. Shane Steichen, same thing, his decision. I thought if had it gone the other way, maybe they would have lost control. And some of those third down plays, we know we'll talk about, and we know about the Nico Collins catch and C.J. Stroud throw and the late run that you heard earlier from Joe Mixon. Like, it was on the brink. Had any of those four things gone the other way, then I would have been like, okay, kind of feeling like they're losing control. But they all went the Texans' way. Every one of those four things went the Texans' way.
From the 281, hey, Reggie, make sure to get all that DFW stuff out of your system when analyzing the Texans. They have yet to be a disappointment in this. Why feed the narrative of he needed the ball? You sound like all the rest of the media outside looking in, do better.
I didn't hear you say that.
I think my perspective was...
I didn't hear you say that.
There are people in this fan base and around, right? I understand that that's been a larger media narrative that have had that concern. I wanted to speak to that concern. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the ways in which I think that they did a good job of handling it, right, in week one. And I think also you can go back to Nick Caserio. We mentioned that, or we played the audio with him on Pat McAfee, where it seemed like they did their research and that factored in some ways into them cutting off some of those years off of Stephon Diggs. I'm also, along with John in the book round, I think that he'll be fine. Like, I think that they will handle this in a way where everything will be great. I do want to speak to that. Like, I don't want to be in a place where we do not acknowledge those things. And ultimately, a couple of touchdowns, right? Six receptions. It seems like everything's hunky-dory just to start the season at the very least.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely... Let's just make sure that you understand when you talk about distribution and Stephon Diggs and all that. I say only because we expect more, even though he had a fantastic game. C.J. Stroud only threw for 234 yards.
That's right.
You know, so if you think, okay, he's only going to throw for 200 or 200 and change every week, you're crazy. So Stephon Diggs is going to get his. They just played it perfectly well yesterday. And I'll mention it again, not just, you know, Bobby Slowick and, excuse me, not just C.J. Stroud and his receivers, but Bobby Slowick and his receivers, Gerard Johnson and C.J. Stroud, the way he clearly manipulates the pocket and can float around. They played it perfectly well. He's going to have more 300-yard games than not, you know, I feel. Maybe not with his running game, but I feel like he will. So this was just like, there weren't a lot of passing yards to be had anyway, and they didn't need them.
Yeah, and in some ways, I do wonder if the 713 is right here, and that, you know, one of the things to remember is that, you know, with the receivers, their catches, these teams are going to play back a little bit, and that allows things underneath, as we talked about with the idea of what Dalton Schultz might be able to do over the course of the season. And also, I do wonder if that affected in the run game and Joe Mixon and this offense's ability to go and really play that grown man football like we talked about earlier. But again, 29-27, it's a win, right? A win is indeed a win, and I thought it was largely a fairly comfortable one from my perspective. I appreciate the 832 says Texans trauma is real. I'm never comfortable even after winning. Fair enough.
Hang in there.
And hopefully this team kind of works there. That out of you as you know, they get a win, and hopefully they start stacking them. Week two versus the Bears soon come. But 29-27 victory versus the Colts. And, you know, if I'm being negative, that's fine. Let's get some positivity.
There's some haters out there.
I'm willing to acknowledge if that's the case, right? I'm willing to be open in when it comes to self-reflection. Let's do the question of the day. What was the best part of your NFL week one weekend? 713-574-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.